thunder in my soul.
Feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters of Central Louisiana. It's going to be all right, for you got Pastor Dunkley of the Mount Olive Baptist Church, 4711 England Drive, Alexandria, Louisiana. Call your friend, call your neighbors, and tell them it's going to be all right, because Pastor Dunkley's on the airway.
Well, me
Lord, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Courage, Lord, to change the things I can. And wisdom, Lord, to know the difference. Now, Lord, thou art the potter. I am the clay. Yield and still in thy precious hand. Have thy own way, Lord. Have thy own way. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. In the absence of Reverend Belvin, Lavalade, the officers and members of this august body, of this grand body, Webster Dictionary has two words, August. One meaning the month, the other one meaning something that's grand, something that's majestic, something that's precious. So when you hear someone say the August body, they're not talking about the month of August, but they're talking about the grandness of those that are present in the presence of the Lord. Amen. This choir have sung out of their hearts this morning. Let's give them a hand clap of praise. Thank God for them. And let's give Jesus a hand clap of praise. Why, you had to give your own self a hand clap of praise. I am so delighted and happy to see all of you today. Especially happy and delighted to see my friend, Mr. Lavaday. Amen. Each time that I see him, he always gives me some little nuggets that I can utilize in my life and in my preaching. It starts with me utilizing in my life first, in me. Then it continues into the preaching. I want to lift up the thought this morning from the gospel according to Mark, the 5th chapter. You find the same text in the 8th chapter of Luke and also the 9th chapter of Matthew. The gospel according to Mark, who is believed was Peter's secretary, and these are the recordings of Peter's sermons, it's believed. Beginning at verse 25, as Dr. Cecil Clark would often say, when you have the time, read that entire chapter. Chapter 5, beginning at verse 25. The word of the Lord says, now a certain woman. Mark is the only one that says a certain woman. Had a flow of blood for 12 years, or issue of blood, or hemorrhage for 12 years, and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, something ought to happen when you hear about Jesus. She came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, hem of his garment. And she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well or made whole. Immediately, you find that word immediately, instantaneously in Mark's gospel. He seemed like he's always in a hurry. The fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. She knew she was healed. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that power of virtue had gone out of him, turned around the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? That's significant. He didn't say who touched me, as he said in Matthew, but he said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude throwing you, pressing you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before Jesus, and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well or made you whole. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Go in peace. May the Lord bless the reader, the hearer of his divine word. Shake hands with your neighbor and say, neighbor, Jesus will fix it. I did not ask for that song to be sung. I wanted to, but I didn't ask for it. The Spirit did. I got a confirmation on Friday in talking and being in the presence of Mr. Lavardane that this was what God wanted me to say. For he brought up the point of the touching of the hem of his garment. And I want you to understand, when I say Jesus will fix it, it does not mean that you take your hands off it and sit down and wait on him to do something in your life. You got to be a part of the application. You got to be a part of the fixation. If you want him to fix something in your life, you got to be willing to be a part in the fixing. So often we live in this microwave time, or should I say in this cyberspace time, where everything is right now, right now, right now. You can bank 24 hours a day. You can go to the bank at midnight and get some money if you need to, or if you got some in there now, or get yourself in some serious trouble by getting that what's in there that you don't have in there, you know. You can go and get a prescription filled 24 hours a day at Walgreens. You can go and make groceries at the midnight hour. You got a water leak. You can go and get some stuff at Walmart to kind of help you make it through the night. All of those things are happening. We feel like that God works the same way, but not necessarily. And yet he can if he so chooses to do so. But sometime in your life, in my life, you have to wait. And whatever you need changed in your life, You got to be willing to be a part of the change. If you got a habit that you're trying to break, and you know that he is a habit breaker, but you got to be willing to break the habit. It takes more than just saying, Lord, stop me from doing this or doing that. But you got to say, Lord, I desire not to do it anymore. Empower me that I will not do it. Don't even let me think about it. Prayer's got to go through. Sometimes it takes fasting in prayer. And you have to be a participant of your prayer. Amen. It's interesting when you look at the text that there is a man whose name is given and a woman whose name is not given. But Mark say a certain woman. So brother, go, she just not any woman, but a certain woman. That makes her be somebody of importance, of divine importance, because it says not just a woman, but a certain woman. But now, Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, has come also. And here he has prestige and resources. But the woman has nothing. Unknown. Here he can go to the temple because he is a ruler of the temple, the synagogue. But she is forbidden to worship. But yet what makes them both so much of the same is because faith have brought both of them to Jesus. And they both need Jesus. I don't care how much money you got in the bank, you still need Jesus. I don't care how much education you have, you still need Jesus. I don't care how high up in the ladder of success you are, you still need Jesus. However, the ruler have come for his daughter, who has been sick 12 years. And while he's talking to Jesus, she dies. But yet the woman has been suffering for 12 long years. Now, it seemed like first come, first serve. Huh? Y'all know what I'm talking about. I was first. It seemed like first come, first serve. God has come first. And look like his need is greater because his daughter is dying, but yet this woman is not dying, but yet she's sick and she needs Jesus also. And Jesus seems like he stops to heal the woman and then goes to Jairus. First come, first serve, huh? But not so with God. Not the case with God, because Jesus was not concerned about who was first or who was second, because he knew that what he was going to do was going to help both of them. If only they just trust him. And I come by to tell you, maybe sister so-and-so got her blessing before you, but don't you worry. God still know where you live. He still know your name. He still know your address. He still know your DNA. Faith is not faith until it's put into action. You can talk about how much you trust God all you want, but if you never step out on faith, and faith is taking God at his word, faith is believing that God's going to do it. I don't know how, I don't know when, but I know one thing. He's going to do it. Faith goes beyond boundaries. Boundaries. Obstacles. Look at this woman. Condition. Her desperation. And her story is almost told in one sentence. She had an incurable disease. And don't you know that's what sin is? An incurable disease. Isaiah said that Israel was sick from the crown of their heads to the sole of their feet. Incurable. But I come by to tell you that Jesus can help you. She has spent all that she had on the physician. I'm talking about her condition now.
And one thing I like about that, and I told you earlier, that if you want Jesus to deliver you, if you want Jesus to heal you, if you want Jesus to fix it, you got to be a part of the fixation. At least she have tried to get help. Have you been trying to get any help? She had done all that she could do in her power to get healed. It's one thing to go to the doctor and leave there feeling better, but the Bible says that she got worse. And she has spent her living, Luke says, her living, in other words, every dime she had was gone. The MasterCard was maxed out. The health insurance had maxed out. You know, they allow you to think about $1 million or something like that. After that, then it's all over then. All her resources was gone. And do you know when you are gone, when all your resources are gone, ain't nobody to help you but Jesus. Touch somebody and say, when it's all gone, you need Jesus. And oh, if you call on him while you got it, it won't be so hard to call on it when you don't have it. She made the doctors rich, but her health was worse. She was ceremonially unclean, cut off from society and religious worship. Leviticus 15:19-33. Even she had to divorce her husband, Brother Brown, if she was married. Couldn't touch her children if she was married. And had no business in the crowd this morning. Sometimes you got to put yourself where you ought not be to get your blessing. Your blessing may not come here at the church. You may have to go downtown to get your blessing. You may have to stop by Walmart to get your blessing. I don't know where it might be. It might be in your neighborhood. Why are you helping somebody else that God will bless you too? Sometimes we think we got to come to church to get the blessing. God can bless you wherever you at. Moses got blessed at the burning bush, sitting there with nothing but sheep manure all around. And God had the audacity to tell him to take his shoes off. Had something between him and God.
Here.
Talking about her condition. She's a picture of all of us. Sometime in another. Physically desperate. Her health is gone. And financially desperate. Her money is gone. And spiritually desperate because she couldn't go to the temple. Physically, my brothers and sisters, we are all moving towards death. Financially, there are some things that money can't buy. Oh, money will buy a house. Money can't buy a home. Money will buy the best in health, but money can't buy health. Best doctors, best technology, best hospitals that's available, but that will not buy health. That will not heal you. Only Jesus. Spiritually, we all need salvation. And sin separates us from God. She was separated from the temple because of her sickness. And sin separates us from God. That's why Jesus had to come. But the Bible said that he came to give his life a ransom for many. He came to die in our place. Her condition is horrible, desperate. Secondly, let's look at her courage. How courageous this woman was. And that's what faith will do. Faith will make you courageous. Faith will make you move when nobody else will move. Faith will keep you focused on God and not man. Look at her determination. The Bible says right there in the text, when she heard, verse 27, about Jesus. When she heard about Jesus. Not when she saw Jesus. And I don't know if she saw him or not, but the text don't say. But when she heard about Jesus, not when she had an experience with him, I don't know, or somebody in her family may have had an experience. I don't know all of that because the text don't tell me that.
But it do tell me that when she heard.
What happens when you hear about Jesus? When you hear his word called, what happens with you when you hear about Jesus? When you hear how he has healed somebody else and has delivered somebody, what happens in your life when you just hear about Jesus? When you just hear his name called?
Desperate as she is, she's determined. When she heard about Jesus, she came to Jesus. Just as she was.
You know, I meet people from time to time, and they say, well, Rev, I would come to church, but I'm not dressed. I don't have no church clothes.
I said, don't worry about that. Just as long as you're decently dressed. If you ain't got nothing but some work clothes, wear your work clothes.
Well, if you just come to Jesus, I'm not concerned about you coming to this building. I want you to come to Jesus, and Jesus will accept you just as you are. Oh, you ain't got to have on a fine linen. You don't have to have on no mock shakma suit to come to Jesus. You can come to him just as you are, just as I am.
I come. Termination. Hear. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. She came to Jesus just as she was. And Matthew said that she kept on telling herself, if I can just touch the hem.
Well, I don't have to touch the robe itself, just to hear, just the borderline of it, I'll be made whole.
Jesus got enough healing power in the hem. Oh, I don't know what'll happen if I touch it all.
Oh, if I can just touch. Have you touched him lately? Have you touched him here lately? Have you touched him by faith lately? Have you touched him by love lately? Have you touched him lately?
Can this touch the hem of his garment? She says right here, if I can just touch his clothes, I'll be made whole. I'll be all right. Manali, do you talk to your problem? Don't look at me like I'm crazy now. Matthew 17 and 20 say now, and it's written in red in my Bible. I don't know what is written in yours, and they tell me if it's written in red, Jesus said it. Am I right about that? If you have faith of a mustard seed, you can say, ain't that talking? S-A-Y, say. Is that not talking? You can say to this mountain. Is that not talking? You can talk to your mountain. Whatever obstacle that stands between you and Jesus, you can talk to it this morning, Mount Olive. It says you can speak to your mountain and say, move from here to there. And the mountain got to move. Whoa, I know the mountain will move if you put some dynamite to it. I know the mountain will move if you got a bulldozer. Oh, I know the mountain will move if you got a hammer and a scissor. But all he said, I can just talk to it. If you broke this mountain, talk to your broke pockets. If you sick this mountain, talk to your sickness. Call it as if it's already done. Call out your blessing as if you already got it.
You got to learn how to talk to your problem. She said, if I can just touch the hem, I'm going to be made whole. Oh, I may not have what I need this morning, but oh, when I leave here today, I'm going to have it in the name of the Lord. I'm going to feel better in the name of the Lord. Oh, I'm going to be all right.
Enough healing power just in the hem of his garment to heal you this morning. If you touch him, he's going to touch you back. Looked at her condition. Looked at her courage. And guess what? Her desperation. She did not let the fact that the Levitical law said, you know, she couldn't be with her husband. She couldn't be in the public. She's sick. She's unclean. She didn't let that keep her from. And you ought not let that keep you from coming to Jesus. Well, maybe you're unclean. Can I tell you something? All of us are unclean. It's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us. All of us got something wrong with us. We all got some kind of issue this morning. I don't know what your issue is, but oh, you got one. It might be lying, but you got one. Might be stealing, but you got one. Might be hatred, but you got an issue. And only Jesus can move it. Talked about a condition, a courage. And let me tell you something, church. She didn't let her appearance. Now be real. She pale. She pale. She looked like she might be bleached. And we know she poor because the Bible says she spent it all. Checking account is wiped out. Credit cards are maxed. Ain't it good to know when your credit card is maxed, you can call on Jesus? She's pale. She's weak. Can I tell you something else? She's not standing up. She's crawling through the crowd. She's crawling through the crowd to get to Jesus. Are you willing to crawl? Are you willing to get out of our fold to get to Jesus? Are you willing to crawl in your spirit? Are you willing to crawl in your behavior? Are you willing to crawl in your character to get to Jesus? It's not how great your faith is, but it's your faith in a great Savior. Not the strength of your faith, but the strength of a Savior whose faith you are in. Look at her cure as we come to a close. You got to get low. Let me just stop for a minute. Station identification. Pause for a moment for station identification. Some of us don't get healed, don't get delivered, because we're too high up. We're too goody-goody shoe. We think we got it going on. I'm going to stop and mellow a little bit right now. I saw two programs last week. Just for a moment, I need to say this. On television, Urban Prep School in Chicago, 100% graduate. 100%.